It's good to have you in church tonight. I got to move a couple things while I talk here. Yeah. Okay. We can turn the lights up. Oh, thanks, Tad. Tad, he's our man. All right. Well, we got a graphic on what we're going to talk about tonight, so I think they might throw it up there if I talk to them really nice. Hi, guys. You're so wonderful. See? It works every time. Well, this first Wednesday, and depending if we get we don't have to get through this. If not, we'll recap it and finish it next first Wednesday. But today when I was praying, I feel like, what the Lord said is just, we need practical things, don't we? I don't know about you, but I need strategy. I need practical things. I love coming to church. I mean, we don't, you know what I mean? It's just good to be in the house of God. We understand that. But just practical things that we can apply and go, all right. So I asked Pastor Kim to be up here with me, because originally I was just going to speak this, and we talked a little bit this morning and then later this afternoon, and she said, no, I'll be up there with you. And I said, great, we're going to, because this is going to give you a chance, and I want, what we're going to do is just kind of be kind of like a, I don't know if a panel is right, we're just two panel. But it's, yeah. So, you know, the title of this is just turn around. And, you know, the enemy's at work. How many knows he wants to get our families? He wants to get you off course. He wants to come at your families. And if you're like, well, you know what? I'm an empty nester. He's still after you or your grandkids or your extended family or just your peace. Come on. I mean, he's out there trying to do his. And so our families, you know, they represent, that's important to God. Family, he created the family. And so that unity of a family, even like our children, you know, most of them are, you know, married, moved away. Now Maddie's still with us and Zach has moved away and Sam is, you know, on pastor's squad there in New Albany and he's full-time over there. But family is important. We stay in touch with family as best we can. Isn't it amazing what we have today in media where you can Zoom call? Or, you know, FaceTime. Oh, my word. You know, and if my mom's watching, we have to teach her how to hold her phone when she FaceTimes because all we see is the top of her nose and her forehead. I'm like, holding the phone. But anyway, I mean, it's important to stay in touch. And there's times, if you remember, even back in 2020, where we were supposed to not meet and all that. So we did, you know, Zoom calls and FaceTime, well, live videos and whatever we needed to do just to try to keep things together. Because people need that touch, that contact. They need all of that. And we need the Word, and we have to keep things in line with the Word of God. Sometimes that's easier said than done. How many believe that? Isn't it easy to tell somebody else how they can do that until it happens in your yard? Or in your house, or in you, and then you're like, ah. When you're in pain, it's harder to like, are you speaking to the pain? I'm speaking to the pain, you know. But you have to deal with, you know, it's just life. And so getting a hold of the Word of God, the Word never changes. And that's the thing. The Lord told PK one time, you're the variable. And I thought, how true is that? God doesn't change. So if something is not, if it's not working, It's probably on my end, operator error or something. So we want to give you a chance as we talk about some of these things. I have five specific points that I jotted down. I'm not saying there isn't any more. There could be a bunch more. But just that we want to talk about and give you kind of a chance, kind of like a kind of a larger small group, so to speak. We're able to, and if there's a question and you have it, we're going to tell you stories from our life that work with these points. And, you know, if you're like, hey, you know, we'll do whatever we can to help. I'm not in any hurry. I'm not trying to rush through this. So if we have to finish it next first Wednesday, that's fine. We'll just recap. Here's the first 2 points we went through. Here, you know, we're going to hit the other three right now, or we're going to hit the other, you know, whatever we get done tonight, we get done. But when things get lined up properly, isn't it awesome how things start to work? Once we figure out, like, and then things start happening. And that's the way God wants it. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to understand His will for you is that you be well and that you have a good life. I mean, this, you're not supposed to be miserable. Who wants to hang around somebody miserable? I mean, you love them, but come on. You want somebody to be happy. But that's, it begins with you. You know, if I expected everything to be on her shoulders, then I, you know, that's not fair. That's, I have to be responsible for me. So, you know, my happiness has to be based. Now, she does make me happy, but my total happiness has to be based on God. So I have to have that foundation for Him. And so, you know, family is very important. We have some of our greatest memories and triumphs are from family. Some of the tough times we've been through, family comes together and we, you know, hang on to each other and all of those kind of things. But my point is this, if there's something that's broken that alignment, this is worth fixing, okay? It's worth fixing. And the enemy wants to tell you that it's not. You're worthless. This doesn't work. You might as well quit. You can go on through the gamut of everything. So, but family and yourself takes a four-letter word, work. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to put your hand to it. You know, when we first got married, people just said, you know, I remember saying, we're going to live on love. We did. But when we still love each other. But there's times that, you know, those are tough because, you know, I'm probably not the easiest guy to live with. And so she had to put up with, you know, me being just a guy. Why didn't you make the basket with those clothes? Well, I was close. You know, or those kind of things are just, you know, so I tried to help with the kids. But anyway, it took work. It took commitment on my part. It took priority for me to put other things aside to work things out. So you have to get involved. You have to make the investment. And so how do we turn around? So if we look at Judges chapter 6, there's a story of Gideon in there. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But, you know, Gideon and his whole family, so to speak, he was an Israelite, but in the sight of God, they had not done right. And then there was this, you know, the Midianites and all of these, they were always under stress and attack, and they'd come and they'd just get stuff and they'd rip it all away from them and take it, and it was just, it was a mess. And so he'd be hiding, and they were hiding in caves and mountain cover and all of that stuff. And they finally, and I don't know if this, and I'm getting to the point, so then we'll stop and you guys can talk. So I'm getting there. I'm just setting the stage. They finally cried out to God. And that's where we're going to kind of pick up the story here in a second. Sometimes I have waited a long time, I think, sometimes before I cried out to the Lord. And isn't that where all of our answers are? Our strength is in the Lord, you know, the grace, the mercy, the strategy, all of that. But somehow we get independent and we, you know, we finally cry out. But they had had enough, and so they finally cried out to God. And so here's the first step to turn around that I've jotted down. But let me just give you the definition of stupid, okay? Doing the same thing you've always done and expect different results. That's stupid. So if you've been doing this, like the Fred Flintstone running by that same window and Dino's chasing you the whole time, you're going to have to do something to change that up. So the first step to turn around, and these all I put with different things that all sound like this. Well, the first one is to wake up. It's time that we woke up, recognize where you are, and cry out to God. And so with that being said, you know, is there, for Kim and I, we'll go through, I'll just see if she has anything that you want to say.
Right now?
Evidently, she does not.
No, no. What I mean, I feel like I'm playing jump rope, and I'm like, I don't. Wait a minute, I have to wait till I can
double jump
in. Yeah. So, I don't know. Ask me a question, and I can jump in.
like in our life, with our kids, where there are times where we recognized this isn't working. You know, or you know, there's something. It's not like we weren't working, but I mean, there's just like we need, you know, when did we wake up to say we need to just get with God?
When we get with God.
Yeah.
You know, when you get with him and he reveals, you know, being in his presence, you can't do it without him. You can do life without him, but it's really not fun at all. And I'm not saying you're not going to have trouble, but he has every answer we would ever need. So, yeah, when we woke up and said, this isn't working, and then he connected us with the right people, you know, he will. It's very important. It's a matter of life and death, who you hang around with. You know, you become like who you're around. That's, you know, culture will tell you, scientists will tell you, you become like the five people you hang around the most. And if you're like, I don't know why my life's not changing, well, who are you hanging around? You know, hopefully your life is changing mm-hmm. by coming to this church. But I just want to encourage you, get more plugged in. Come to connection. You have gifts that we need, but it's so important. It's so important who you hang around. If you have an addiction, and you're like, I just can't seem to break this addiction, probably the people you're hanging around with have addictions. But they accept me, that's okay. No, it's not. You need someone who's going to tell you the truth and love.
You can still love those people, but again.
Yeah, but you can't hang around them.
No, but you can't. You got to wake up. I mean, there's got to be a time where you're like, okay, this is not my circus, not my monkeys. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes it is. Your circus,
yeah,
your monkeys,
because
exactly. You need to go out.
And that's so true. And I didn't always make friends because I got ridiculed for just saying no. You know, just because you'd make a stand or you'd just say, you know, I love you, I can't make that, or I can't go there, or I'm not going to do that, or whatever. And I'm not, you know, but sometime you got to wake up and you got to say, okay, what can I do? What have I been doing that I just have gotten dull to? You know, sometimes you can take stuff because you're so used to it. It's just part of your life. You have to start saying, Holy Spirit, will you help me be more sensitive to things? I mean, and I just said it Sunday. There's just, you know, a couple things I'm like, that's not what was going through my mind or whatever. But, you know, I'm like, okay, I need to be more sensitive to hear him on just different things. And so waking up to that is not a bad thing. Waking up to anything God wants you to do is never a bad thing. It's actually the beginning of freedom. Beginning of freedom. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody out there in the audience that is saying, you know what, I can totally relate to that, and you know, you want to share something in a short minute, we would love to hear it. Okay. Well, we'll keep going. We'll keep going. So, you know, in the kingdom, marriages are supposed to work, right? Families don't have to scream and yell at each other all the time. Although that happens. Even you can be saved and still yell. It happens. I heard one guy say, you know, if you were an idiot before you're saved, when you're saved, you're just a saved idiot. Now, and I'm not, that might be, there may be some truth to that, but that doesn't mean, you know, once you get saved, you never do anything wrong. You never yell. You never have an evil thought. You never, you know, just get in a fight with your spouse or your kids. You know, hey, life is a journey. But during that journey, you are waking up to the point of like, I want to be alive to what God wants me to do. Church is a place, and that's what PK was saying, is a place to connect, to learn, to grow. Iron sharpens iron. You know, we're in the process of getting more small groups started. That's kind of part of our push. We're going to start doing that. That's what we want. But we want people to connect. We want people to find a place where they're like, this is awesome. Yes, where they're accepted just the way they are. But we're all works in progress, right? I mean, we all are, you know, we're not perfect. So we're not saying you have to be perfect, but we are saying we've got to have a desire for God. If we want to turn around, we got to make some priority decisions. We got to change some things. So we need to ask God for help. The Israelites cried out to God for help, and he sent a prophet, and he told them they had to listen to the Lord. Now, you know, have you ever done something and like, this is going to seem kind of redundant. Well, I don't know if it's redundant, but maybe just dumb. You ever feel sick, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, yeah, you're sick, that'll be $75. Duh, that's why I came here, you know, or that kind of thing. Sometimes, you know, life is, sometimes the answers are right in front of our face, and we just won't look at them. We refuse to see them, or we just still want to stay on our own way. If God had the answer, would it be not smart to ask him? To say, you know what, God, you are all-knowing. What do I need to do? Now, here's a tell them the story with Sammy and the yogurt.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sam, I don't know. He might have been five, but he was sick, and we didn't know what was happening. But we lived. Anyway, we got to the point where he was so sick so often, we just bypassed the local hospital and went straight to Children's. We didn't care if it was a drive because we trusted them and their opinion. So he was sick. I don't even know. I can't even remember. It's just, he just, and they didn't even know what was happening. So pastor took him to Children's. I stayed with the other kids and they gave him an antibiotic. Okay, we've been through that thing before, but again, it wasn't like an ear infection or a this or that. We don't know. Yep, he's sick. Here's an antibiotic. So he kept getting sicker. I gave him the antibiotic, and he kept getting sicker. I mean, his eyes were hollow. He did not look well. And then his teeth started to abscess, and I'm like, what is going on? Yeah. I don't even know what's going on.
It was hard to look at him because you're like,
I am doing what they told me to do. So it was really bad one night. It's always at night, it seemed. It was always at night. Mm-hmm. But he took him to the emergency room again, and I stayed with the kids, the other three kids, and I prayed in the Holy Spirit. This was back in the, so he was born in 92. So it was like 96-ish or 97. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, where I didn't have a cell phone, we didn't even have internet, anything. You know, I had Parents Magazine, that's it. So I was praying in the Spirit. I didn't know anything about antibiotics. I didn't know anything about that. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, take him off the antibiotics, give him yogurt, and have him gargle and swish his mouth out with warm salt water. Like, that is quite specific. But take him off the antibiotics. So I'm not saying, hey, go off your medications, but I know what the Lord told me. And again, I didn't know anything. I didn't know antibiotics killed everything, you know, everything, good and bad bacteria. So anyway, I did that, and he immediately started getting better. And we had a friend, I had a good friend at the church who was a nurse, and I said, listen to this. This is what happened. She goes, yeah, do you know antibiotics kill the good and the bad, and she said it also, certain ones can cause your teeth to abscess, and she said, you know, so she confirmed, but basically, the fact is he got better from the instruction of the Holy Spirit, you know, but we were kind of at the end of our rope,
but
you know.
The beauty of what we're trying to share is we're a team.
Yeah.
So, you know, we wake up to the point of something's going on, and God, we need help.
Yeah.
And I remember I'm heading, that was what, over an hour drive, maybe, I don't know, to.
Yeah, you took him back. So yeah, telling your husband who just drove 2 hour round trip, hey, guess what the Holy Spirit said? Take him off the antibiotics and have him.
So then, yeah, and then, but you got to understand, I had to believe her.
Trust me.
Yeah, I had to trust that she heard God, and I had to also believe she heard God and have a peace to go, because in the natural, you're like, okay, we didn't go to school. There's not MD after our name, you know? Brett MD. No, no, no. So I just said, okay. And so we did that, and it was almost immediate. Within just an hour or so, he got more color in his face, his eyes started looking better, and the rest is history. So the next step to not only just say, okay, we're going to cry out to God, we're going to wake up and say, God, we need you, is listen. Listen up. Because God has an answer. Mm-hmm. He has the answer. So listen to the voice. Listen for the answers. You don't even have to make them up. And I can say this, and answers will come, and they'll come when you're not expecting it. I mean, you'll pray. You can pray in the Spirit, and you're like, I got nothing. I mean, I'm just being honest. I don't hear anything except my own voice praying in the Spirit. But then I could be out mowing the yard and all of a sudden, bang, poof, there comes the answer. There comes the drop of the nugget that he just downloaded. It just, boom, it hits you and you're like, that's it. That's the idea. That's what I need to do. That's the strategy. That's whatever. But here's the problem with the church. We don't give God that. We don't give him that kind of priority or that kind of, you know, access to our life, because we tend to want to act in the flesh all the time because we did it most of our life. So in this church, if we do anything, we're trying to teach ourselves and teach you there's something greater, and it's God's Spirit. And those fruits, those self-control, those patience, those all of those that are listening, those nine fruits, I mean, to be like, okay, you got to listen. Because there's a lot of noise out in the world today. There's a lot of voices out there. What is God telling you? And if he's telling someone else that, that's great. But make sure he's telling you that if you're going to do that. You have to, in Romans it says, be led by peace. There's sometimes, you know, well, God told me to do this. Well, okay, he didn't tell me to do that. So, okay. You know, because the fruit will pan it out. If you walk it out, it'll pan itself out. So you have to trust God with your whole heart. And if you're a spouse, you're a team. You got to start leaning on each other. Because as far as God's concerned, you know, I've said this to God before, and I heard Pastor Gary say this too. He said, God, you tell her, why didn't you tell me? And God's answer was, I did. I told her. Because you guys are one. Now, there's a reason for sometimes that. Sometimes he'll tell me something, and I'll tell her, and she'll go, okay, I get, yeah, that witness is with me. A lot of times he'll tell her, and I'll be like, okay, yeah, that witness is with me. Because God sees you as one. That's what happens. And so you have to work in that authority together. You have to learn how to flow together. You have to get along. You don't get along, that's no bueno, no fun. Got to get along. So, let me give you an example. And I put this example in here. If you're in a town meeting and a guy in the very back says, I have something to say, and he's got a bright red jacket on, everybody in the meeting is paying attention to the man in the red jacket because he's got something to say. Because they said, we are opening the floor. Anybody have? I have something to say. You have to give God that kind of attention in your life. When he wants this, you have to stop what you're doing and listen to him. I'm trying to make that as simple as I can. There have been times she is a great cook, and she has made it. Now, she hasn't made it for a long time, but I don't need it, but she hasn't made it for a long time. She would make chicken and noodles and homemade mashed potatoes, and she would pour the chicken and noodles. I mean, it's like carb heaven. I get
it.
That's
why I don't make it.
I know. But, I mean, all day long, she was like, I'm making chicken noodles and mashed potatoes for you. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And I get home, and it's piping hot, and she sets it in front of me. I've been looking forward to it all day because I'm a dude. And, you know, there's only so many things that goes through our mind that make us pay attention. And we'll just leave that where that's at. So she puts that down, and I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be... I get my fork down, and the Lord says, no, I don't want you to eat it. Not right now. And I mean, I know I heard him. I set my fork back down, and I pushed the plate out and said, I can't eat it right now. I said, I feel like God doesn't want me to eat it right now. You know what she said? She did not say to me, what? Are you nuts? This is one of your favorite meals. She didn't say anything like that. She said, okay. Well, if you need to go pray, I'll put this up, and whenever you're allowed to, it'll be ready for you. That's working together. Plus, it was good to get it out of my sight, you know. But still, listen. God's got something to tell you. You know, this is Gideon. You know, Gideon's hiding. These guys are coming in and raiding their food and doing all this, and so he's hiding wheat. And they've learned to just how, you know, when they come in, where to hide stuff, how to survive. They're in survival mode. You ever been in survival mode? Maybe you're in survival mode tonight. And you're just like, I'm just doing anything I can just to get to tomorrow. Okay? These people, Gideon's people, know promises of God, but they're not living it. That's kind of like today, isn't it? We can find out the promises of God, but we're not really living them. We don't believe him. Or we just think it's not for us, or he likes somebody else more than us, and we get self-righteous. Well, I didn't do this, or I did. God can't love you any more than he loves you right now. He can't love you any less than he loves you right now. I mean, it's just a complete love. It is the love. There's nobody can love you the way God already loves you. It's already established. It's already there. It is the covenant. So anyway, so Gideon's all, he's hiding. They send an angel. God sends an angel to tell Gideon he's a mighty man. And Gideon is like, not sure you're talking to the right guy. Gideon probably feels like Barney Fife with one bullet in his pocket and, you know, that kind of stuff. But God saw him different than he saw himself. So, you know, my question, I guess, is how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself the way you dream you want to be? Or do you see yourself from all your past mistakes? How do you look at yourself? I know we need, you know, in a church, we look for people that will grab onto the Word of God and be spiritual leaders in the house of God. And I'm just going to talk to the men. If you're married in here, your wife is looking to you to be the spiritual leader, to be the head of the house and the priest of the home and protect the family and pray with them. I mean, I tried to, if I'm not there, she led the prayer. But if I'm there, I led the prayer most every time. Unless there was something going on, I said, honey, why don't you start? But, I mean, most of the time when our kids were around the bed and it was me. Well, you know, we'd start with the littlest first. It was trying to pry it out of Maddie first. Some people have asked us this question. How'd you get your kids to pray? Our kids wouldn't pray. Well, you know, we just... Bribery? No, I mean...
the more you do it, the more they get used to it.
Yeah, and so we would just expose them to it, and we would just, you know, at the beginning, we would just tell Maddie, I don't care if you just tell God, I love you, or God, thanks, and you'll be done. But then there was the positive peer pressure from her brothers and her bigger sister.
Was it positive?
And so we go, Maddie, and all the way up to, then, you know, it'd be Sam, then Zach, and then, you know, and Zach would pray somewhat similar prayer. Sam was diligent in some of his prayers of how, you know, I remember back, and I got to go, oh, that's awesome. Mal, is she back in the back there? Yeah, Mal's back there. Mal would start praying. She's like, Jesus. And she would just like start naming all her classmates, and you'd hear Zach go, oh. And she would just go on, and Jesus help me, you know, and Zach would be okay. And then Sam, they'd be giggling back and forth. And and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it was just part of the thing. And then as they got older, we had different, Mal got to stay up longer because she was the oldest. And then, you know, different bedtimes, and we staggered them. And but when we all prayed together, that was when Maddie went to bed first. So people have asked us different things. When did you do devotions? Now, this isn't even in the notes, but we did them at supper. That's when we did them, because that was the meal we were all together, you know, from school and everything. And it was Maddie and Sam's job. They took turns to go. I had a devotion book. They went and got it, and we would read it, and it would take like 5 minutes, and we would go around the table. What do you think that's saying? What's that mean? What's that mean to you? Sometimes they'd give really silly answers and stuff, and we would all laugh. Other times they would say stuff that would be kind of profound that, you know, at kids at their age, they're like, oh, wow. And then later, sometimes we'd talk about it. Not really as much then, but sometimes, you know, when I was tucking them in or that kind of stuff. Hey, you did really good at that devotion tonight. What made you think of that story? You know, and they would tell us when their kids growing up. So you think about like these kids town leaders and stuff that are back there and the nursery leaders. They would remember like, oh, they taught us. We heard about this. And they'd tell the story of what they heard about. And we'd be like, that's great. What do you think? How would that, you know, and we just ask him questions. But anyway, understand that, you know, you're going to see yourself. You'll act kind of the way you see yourself. Does that make sense? If you see yourself as really insecure and you don't have any confidence, I'm not saying you can't break out of that. I'm just saying it is tougher. How many insecure people do people are like, I'm not reading my name? But I mean, you know, that's something you struggle with. I just, speaking in front of people, you know, or that kind of thing. But how do you see yourself? What do you want to see? What do you want to be like? How do you think God sees you? And start looking at that. And I have a vision board at home, and it has, you know, I have certain things on there that matter to me. Because when I see those, now listen to what I'm saying. I connect what I see, and it connects with what I'm believing. Does that make sense? That doesn't mean seeing is believing. It means believing is seeing. I'm believing first, but I'm seeing an end result. So on my vision board is an end result. It isn't what I see now. One time we had a board at our one house that had magnets. And she had a picture of our house on it, and she had paid in full on that house because she saw the house paid off, and we believed and agreed those kind of things. And so, you know, you start looking at the end result. If you want to, I want to be so many pounds lighter. Do you have a picture of yourself when you're that lighter? You know, that when you were that, I mean, I have a couple pictures of me. So, you know, I might want to look at those and go, yes, God, I'm going to get back there. I thank you for that. And it's important how you see yourself. Line that up with how God sees you. Because when God sees you, he sees Jesus covering you. So, you know, when he sees that, God is completely in love with you. Because you've given your heart to Jesus. So, but he has a plan for you. That's kind of why the church is John 14:6, True Life Church. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And our vision statement, live life on purpose. We believe that you were created on purpose for a purpose. So your spouse, you guys are linked together, your family. You know, as the husband, where are you heading? Where you know, don't take your family where you know, they don't need to go. So, go ahead.
Well, too, I will say this. You know, the scripture that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's really true. However you see yourself, you are where you are today, and sometimes that's hard to hear, is what you've pictured and what you've seen. And two, what you have to be so diligent and careful what you model in front of your kids, your grandkids. And if you're not married, you're like, well, this does not apply to me. It does, because you're influencing somebody. There's always somebody that you're influencing, whether it's people at work or you have nieces or nephews. But I just want to encourage you, you have to think about, use wisdom. Wisdom thinks about what I'm doing today, how it's going to affect my future. Like my actions today, how's it going to affect my future? And I'm not saying it's easy.
No.
But you do have the Holy, if you have Jesus, if you've asked him to be your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the fruit of the Spirit. So you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You have all that in there. You just have to make that choice. You have to predetermine. And we were talking about that the other day. You have to, before whatever hits, before the temptation comes, before whatever storm or whatever battle you have to predetermine.
That's a biggie right there. And so just for a second, we need to maybe stay on that. You have to make up your mind beforehand. Mm-hmm. So let's just say, I'm just going to use the diet because it's easy. If you're going to a party and you know they're going to have all kinds of pastries and cakes and you know that is not what your goal is added, you know. So predetermine before you go, I'm not going to have those cakes and pastries. I'm going to maybe eat a little something before I get there, or I'll have something when I get there that I can have or whatever. But you predetermine that, so when you go there, you're not, you know, you've already made up your mind. That choice has already been made. So you're not battling that right there. Now, I'm not saying they don't look good and you have those wonderful friends. You know, my grandma, I'd be saying, Grandma, I'm trying to, you know, I'd be competing or that kind of stuff, or working out back in the day. And she'd say, she'd slop a big thing of potatoes on my plate. I can't eat those, Grandma. She'd go, oh, now you can eat those. God would want you to have those potatoes. Now you eat them. You know, and just she'd just try, and I'd move them around with my fork, and that's probably wrong, but she'd think I'd eat a bunch of them, and I just pushed them around a little bit. So, but I loved her. She was awesome. But I mean, predetermining. Here's what I won't do. Here's, you know, there are things when I worked at the fitness center. I was probably the only guy there. Guys are going to stay after. We close the spa, and they're all going to sit around the whirlpool, and I know what they're going to do. They're all going to be drinking beer, and I don't drink. And so, but I wanted to be a witness, and so I wasn't at a bar. I was at the place where I worked, and that's where they were at. Thing was closed, and the boss was there, and that's what they were doing. And he was leading it. And so they said, hey, you know, and my name there, or my nickname for most of them was Gleese. And except for Kirby, he called me Lean Spleen, which I have no idea, except, you know, I was bodybuilding, and so maybe that's why he did it. I don't know. But so I was the only guy drinking a pop, you know, and it would be a Diet Pop or a water or whatever, and they were all drinking other things. And I had, now I'm just being honest, I predetermined. I looked at the clock, and I knew when I was leaving. Does that make sense? I didn't tell them, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay until, you know, I'm going to stay for about half hour, 40 minutes, and I'm out. And so I would do that. And then about the time I'm like, guys, I got to get going. I got some things to do, man. It's great to see all you. God bless you. I'm out of here. And they probably had me for lunch and dinner and breakfast when I left. But do you know that I led the manager and several of those guys to Jesus because I predetermined I'm not going to do that. And they even came up later and asked, why do you do that? But you still hung out with us. Yeah, because I love you. You guys are awesome. See, you got to know where that line is. And you do, because God lives inside you. And you predetermine that, and you do that. I'm telling you, when I walked out of there, I'm sure they're talking about me. I could hear some of them laughing. Some of them, maybe they stood up for me. If they did, they didn't. Who cares? Because I had predetermined I was going to follow God. That is a biggie right there. So, you know, listen to each other. Listen to God. Wake up. You know, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I'm trying to see how many we've gotten so far. And we won't get through the whole thing tonight, but that's fine. We've done two. Yeah. We'll do this last one, and then we'll finish the next first Wednesday. Is that okay? Okay. Here's the third one to turn around. Is so when you do all that, so we woke up, we listened up, now we have to stand up. So you have to make up your mind. What if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything. You hear me? So you're going to have to stand up for the things that God wants you to. You're going to have to realign and reestablish your foundation. Brett, I fell off. I screwed up. I did that. You know, everybody in here could have that story, and I get it. But you, sooner or later, you got to look in the mirror and say, I'm standing. I am standing. I'm done. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. And where does your allegiance lie? Have you've all seen Narnia. Do you remember when they're running and those wolves are coming and that fox, those kids are up in the tree and the fox is on the ground and they sit there. The fox says something and the wolf says, we know where your allegiance lies. Can I say to you, I just feel the Lord on that. God knows where your allegiance lies. The enemy knows where your allegiance lies. And so many times, sometimes we think we have to be real loud and enemy hears real well. You know, the whistle doesn't pull the train, just makes noise. I mean, if God wants you to be loud, I'm sure he'll impress. You need to shout that. You know, there's times he wants you to shout. Shout and the walls come down. I get it. Shout and Lazarus comes out. I understand. But there may be times where he just says, stand. You don't even have to say anything. Just stand. I mean, he gives Gideon a strategy. Where do you need to stand up? I've been doing all this, God, I did all this, X, Y, Z, but I trust you in all that, but don't mess with the finances. Make him Lord of everything. If you're going to trust him there, don't pick and choose, just trust him in everything. You'll be amazed what he did. I just got a call before we walked out here from the credit union because I had a strategy on getting that Forerunner. Do you guys remember that? So I had the strategy on getting Forerunner, and God supernaturally paid it off. $34,700 and whatever. They just called and said, oh, by the way, it just got paid off today. You don't owe anything on that. That, my friend, is God. So you line up with the Lord and obey what he's telling you to do. He's got a strategy for you. But you got to walk it out. You have to stand up. You have to be the one that says, okay, I believe. That's what he's looking for. People that just believe him in the midst of maybe everybody around that doesn't believe. Do you know if you would be the person that believed, you'd be surprised who might follow you. Position yourself so you can receive what God has for you. Just position yourself. So stand up. Once Gideon obeyed, everything came into place. The strategy, if you remember the strategy, and we can cover some more next month, but it was they had pitchers, and they had torches, and they went out, and they surrounded them. And at the right time, they broke the pitchers, and there's these lines. And all these other, you know, the enemy is like, just kind of freaked them out. And God had already won the battle. That was already predetermined. All Gideon had to do was walk it out, which it sounds easy to say that, but you need to understand God has already made provision for you. Jesus already died for you for everything. We have to walk it out. We have to trust him. We have to believe. We have to receive what he's done. And sometimes it's easier said than done. Anything you can add to that?
Just what you're saying, believe. Just believe. Mm-hmm. And you're like, is it that simple? It's simple, but it's not always easy.
That's
because
really good.
We just have, and especially with how we live nowadays, we have the information age, and you have so much piped into your brain. You know, this is how I feel. I love, hate Facebook. I mean, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I know this. We were not created. I don't think God wants us to know everything. I love everybody, and I know you love me. But I don't think he wants us to know everything about us all the time, 24/7. I ate a hamburger and here it is. And I touched up my toe and I spilt the milk. Blah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, don't not post. That's not what I'm saying. But I just don't think.
Somebody's like, I've got to delete that.
Yeah, don't delete your post. What I'm saying is there's so much being. And there. Okay, I'm going to say this. There are influencers who should never be influencers. I'm going to say it. You have people who are influencers with millions of followers, and they don't even have the background to back it up. And they're saying stuff, and we go, it's on the internet. It must be true. Abraham Lincoln was seen at Applebee's today. It must be true. It's on the internet. I know. So I'm just saying and then TV, everything. Don't sit and watch Maury and whoever else, Dr. Whoever, or, you know, pipe all that stuff. I mean, it's just drama and junk and toxic, and I keep waving my hand, but I'm just saying, we don't need all of that information being pumped in our brain. It really does something to us psychologically, especially if you look at somebody's Instagram and everything is perfect. It's perfect. They have 900 children, and their house is always, it's all done in white, and nothing is dirty, and they have all these, I fix 3 meals a day from scratch, and I do sourdough and blah, blah, blah. You know, that is going to make you feel like you are just a loser. You know what I mean? They have a nanny. They have a company. I'm just telling you. You look behind the scenes. If you want to post something, post the real stuff. But don't post your drama. These kids. Post that. No, I'm not trying to confuse you. What I am saying is this. Unplug your brain from all of that stuff and get in the Word. We're to be transformed, and you will be transformed. I'm telling you, transformed by renewing our minds. Don't spend hours and hours on your phones or on the TV or just, I'm telling you, I just want to challenge you, and I'm just, please do this. You got to do this. You have to do this in order to live and survive the onslaughts of the enemy. Yeah. That, you know, the things that he's just pounding and throwing at you daily. Here's the thing. If you resist him, he will flee. That's a promise.
She's not saying resist God.
Resist the enemy with the Word.
Yes.
When you resist him, how do you resist somebody? Just, no, that's not coming on me. I am not going to let that in. I am telling you, he will flee because he has to. That's a promise.
That being said, there are times, I just told her the other night that I was struggling getting to sleep and felt like I couldn't get enough air in, you know, in my lungs or my heart, you know, in 2020, you know, I had that heart attack and all that. And so, you know, I didn't wake her up or anything, but I mean, it took me a few hours to, you know, and I've just stood on the Word and kept saying, devil, you are a liar. My heart is completely restored. I am, and then all of a sudden it was just gone. Mm-hmm. And I went to sleep and, you know, got up in the morning, normal time, and wished I'd have got a couple more hours of sleep. But still, you know, he doesn't care. The enemy doesn't care what your title is. He doesn't care what your age is. He doesn't care. It's not about, oh, he cares about who you are. No, it's whose you are. That's what bothers him. And so he's going to do anything to get you off of the Word. He comes for the Word. But your answer is in the Word. That's why he comes for it. So that's why she's so adamant about the Word. So, you know, to give you a quick idea, and then we'll close this thing out. If you're going through whatever your battle is, many Bibles have a concordance. My Bible, wherever I put it over there, the Bible I use out here, has a concordance in it. So if you look in the back, it's almost like a dictionary. Find the whatever you're going through. What is it? That word will be in there. They're going to list a bunch of scriptures.
And you can also, so use your phone for good. You can Google it.
Yeah.
Scriptures about fear. And then it'll pull up a whole list.
And then maybe take a 3x5 card or a sticky note. Write those down. The reason I'm saying write it, because number one, when the enemy comes, you can say, it is written. I love saying that. But, you know, when I sow for things, I've got a book in where I do my devotions every morning, and I have things that I list. And for the longest time, well, not the longest time, but for those 2 months, forerunner. I don't have to put that on there anymore because it's already done. But what I'm saying is I wrote it down, and the enemy would lie to me and say, you know, what do you think God's going to answer that for you? Why do you just made a fool of yourself, blah, 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 blah. But he ain't laughing now because God did that. But you write that down, and actually they say when you write something down, you have a tendency to remember it more. But I'll tell people, I will put, you know, stick that on your mirror. So guys, when you're shaving, you know, or girls, when you're doing eyelashes or whatever you're doing, then read those out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Say those things so you hear yourself say them. And it's going to take you a little while, but pretty soon you'll be able to say those. When that comes, you can be driving. Nope. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, I am complete in him, Colossians 2:10. My kids are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace, Isaiah 54:13. And you begin to you start hammering the enemy with the word on our phones. I know on my phone, I have a whole list of declarations I say every day. Now, there are some days I haven't said them. Something, you know, my day will happen, or I get a call, and I rush to the hospital, whatever that is. That's fine. But I still, you know, they're throughout the day, I'm thinking of those. I say different things, or I'll read through those. That's so important. Because that is your connection. I mean, you have that word connection because God puts the word, doesn't say it, he puts it in your heart. Mm-hmm. It'll be a light into your path. You got to take him for his word, literally, mm-hmm. and start applying it. And it's amazing. I mean, I just got to tell you, I mean, I just believe the word, every word of it, every word of it. And I believe when I pray, he hears me. Mm-hmm. And I believe he answers it every time. And if I don't get the result that I like, it's not him. It's this guy. And so, you know, but that's okay because he's not there to beat me over the head. He's there to love me and encourage me and lift me up. And that's why we also need brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's just, it's an amazing journey. And we've just begun here at TLC. I mean, we're finally just, it seems like God is just now like, woo, things are really starting to gel. He's starting to show his glory and different things in people's lives. We're gonna be showing people's testimonies, whether video or live again, of things that God just, he just changed their life. They have no other excuse. I mean, we can't even, it's God. I got to tell people that I don't even know. God, I had people stop me. Man, that's a sweet ride. God did that. I don't think they really wanted to hear my answer, but I get to tell it. You know, I don't know them, but hey, God did that. And then they get a card to the church. You go to Marion anytime, you know, whatever. And my wife, I give cards out everywhere I go. But I have something to shout about. I have something to say, and it's God. Mm-hmm. So as we go through this, in the next first Wednesday of next month, we have two more of these to go through. Plus, you know, we'll talk. Maybe we'll throw another one in there if we come up with one. But if you have any questions before we close this out, or have anything, you know, that you say, hey, what would you do? I mean, we'll do our best to answer that. If there's anybody, you have anything? Yes, no? That's a great question. Glad you asked that. I don't want you to feel awkward. I just want you to know, we, you know, for what I saw today was to do this, was to bring her up here and just to be as genuine and real as we can and let you see our life is not perfect, not that I ever thought you thought it was, but sometimes people think, oh, he's got it so easy. I'm telling you, you know, we all, the enemy is fighting. I'm not going to give him any credit because we have greater he that's in us than he that's in the world. So I'm just saying we are real people doing real battle just like you. Mm-hmm. And God has answers. If he answers me, he's going to answer you. He's no respecter of persons. You just have to listen. Wake up and say that you need help. Listen, because he's going to talk to you. And stand up. Okay, you want me to do that? I'll do that. Stand up to the bully. You pop the bully in the nose, he goes away. Resist him, he flees.
And I want to encourage you, you don't have to be perfect. I think sometimes we get the idea, well, I have to hide this. I have to come to church and nobody can know my stuff. Or, you know, we need each other. I'm not saying, You need to find trusted friends.
Yeah.
You can come to us. We'll pray with you. But don't think that you have to be perfect or appear perfect, or if you're struggling with something, if one falls down, another can come and pick mm-hmm. him up. So we need friends. We need people. But I want to encourage you. So we're going to be down here if you need prayer. We want to stand in agreement with you.
Yeah.
And we're not going to judge you. That's why we have church. We come not to judge you.
Church is kind of like the hospital.
To come and be who you are. We need Jesus. We all need Jesus. We all have the same enemy so let's, stand together and let's pray together. And so we'll
three
do that.
Three strand cords, not easily broken.
Right.
We'll agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray for people. People come, hey, it worked. Breakthrough happened. This is what happened or whatever. Well, it's because it's the Bible. And God loves you. So let me pray. And what we're going to do, Tad, I think you're back in the back. Tad, if you would, when we dismiss service, just stand over there with basket, bucket, whatever. And if you want to give tonight, please feel free to give. And we appreciate that. But we love you. I hope, if nothing else, you're like, wow, this isn't starchy. It's not religious. It's not like, I think everybody can relate to just being genuine and being real. And that's our heart. You guys are amazing. And, it's not over. It's not over till God says it's over. So I don't care what the enemy's told you, man. I mean, if I could play Rocky music for you right now, I'd do it. But it's not over. I mean, stay down. No, I ain't going down no more. I mean, you just get up, stand up, and pop that guy in the nose and tell him it is written. I mean, there's a new sheriff in town. Put those things where you can see them. Put them on the dash of your car. Put them on your phone. If you don't like, I don't want to do all that, then just put them on your phone. Mine, it goes off every day. I read it, it's on there every day that I'll read, and I just go down through them. It takes maybe 5 minutes, and I just say them out loud so I can hear them. And if I feel impressed of the Lord to stay on something else, or something a little longer, say if it deals with one of my children or grandchildren that I'm praying extra for something, then I'll say that prayer during that time. Father, I thank you, and I bind. You have authority. You can bind the enemy. You can loose, the power of God in that situation. And just, the enemy doesn't want you to know that. But according to the scripture, You can trample on scorpions and serpents, and they can't touch. I'm just saying, it's all there. So put it to use, okay? All right, so Tad will be right there, but let's pray, and then PK and I'll be down here. And if you need anything, we'll be here to help you. Father, we just give you praise for tonight. I thank you, God, for just the peace and realness of you. And Lord, I believe that next First Wednesday we'll have over twice as many people because these people will be encouraged enough that they'll be telling others, you need to come to that service. That's just going to be a great service. Lord, not because we are great, but because you are great and greatly to be praised. Go with each and every person tonight. Give them the peace that they need. Touch their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Strategies, new concepts, new things, Father, that you release as they spend time with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.